Welcome back, MGTOW community. Hoodies up as we're ready for another Red Pill Lace video on this Sunday, August 27th. I hope you guys have been enjoying your weekend. I want to apologize quickly off the bat for this droning that you're kind of hearing in the background. Where I'm recording at, this desk in the room I'm at, I don't know what's going on behind the walls here, but hopefully that's not getting in the way too much. I want to thank you all for those that have commented, tons of comments from a variety of people. It's great to see. I just checked my what happened when I didn't pay for dinner video and saw a bunch more comments before I recorded this video. I'll get to them individually and respond. No comments will go unread. It's awesome to see. Keep encouraging that from you guys, and I will read them all. I will get back to you within 24 hours, no doubt. So looking back on that video quickly, one comment in particular that really stuck with me, it's from, I think your name's Robert Dorr. I'm guessing that's your real full name. You said, this is what you said, 3:30 shows how little integrity you display knowing that she was still dating one guy whilst trying to monkey branch on you. Hey man, you are right. And seeing that from another person instead of just looking at it from within, it really does strike a different level with me. My integrity level were at zero. Just days before, I was binging on MGTOW videos and popping the proverbial red pill. All of a sudden, she comes in, says she's been, I've been trying to break up with him for such a long time, and being around you has shown me just how much I need to pull that trigger. I went for it. I said, I have the upper hand. I can't even believe myself looking back at this, quite honestly. And there was no integrity, thinking I was a bigger man because another female wanted me more than her ex. Thinking I was still a red pill in that situation and following what I had learned in MGTOW. But don't get caught up on your high horse as a man, because you will get knocked off of it by a volley of arrows in due time. They just come at you like artillery, and all you have is a short window. And you're going to be that same guy that was her ex, and I ended up being that. So who knows what she's doing now, but that is beside the point. It's a perfect example of why I like hearing from you guys. If you want to email me as well, if you want to have more convo there, I don't really care. I'll get back to you. But today we're going to talk about another personal experience of mine and my first experience in dating and what I'm calling as today's video, her request will make you resent her, a blue pill monologue. So definitely a monologue from my blue pill drenched days, just sprinkled with all kinds of blue pill powder. So if you think I was blue pill in my last video with my most recent ex, well, you're right, but I was a freaking battery charged blue pill during relationship number one. You get to know these chicks as time goes on and hear more stories. They've kind of are the main grounds of my personal stories. I've got other resources, but those are kind of the main fuel for my story. So I think if she told me as my first ex to castrate myself because she needed some entertainment, I probably would have obliged. I literally did everything and everything for her. I started dating her during my junior year of college, which was the year that, you know, my first 2 years of college, I wasn't as busy. I took a lot more responsibility during that year, and I think part of it had to do with her. And like they always say, a man doesn't make his money before he gets married, a man makes his money after he gets married, which, you know, it might actually be true. You have more external pressure. That's why you have to reprogram your mind to think, I still have to work as a MGTOW regardless of if a woman's leading me to do that. I was not only a college athlete, I was working two jobs during that year, all while trying to work out on my own 1 to 2 hours per day to keep that to keep a good body that I knew that she demanded that I kept. She had me wrapped around her finger, and I tried to keep that. And man, that looking back on it, that put such a toll on my body and my nervous system. My left rotator cuff is screwed up, my lower back, just my neck as well, like rhomboids and traps and everything. I was like no carbs, 2 days, it was awful. Any free time I had, which was maybe like an hour a day, I'd be spending it for her. I'd be either helping her do her homework, helping her with a chore, seeing her at work, taking a nap with her if she demanded she needed sleep, even though I may have needed to be working at that time as a journalism student. Like I was constantly like kind of on the call a lot for stories and whatnot. I couldn't tell you all the times I headed into work disheveled and smelling like her after napping or fooling around or whatever the heck I was doing. Yeah, it wasn't good. Nearly late to anything and everything. Basically, though, I began to be her servant. Like, you could see it right there. If she needed time with me, then I gave her that time. I gave her anything she wanted. Anything she wanted, she knew I would give to her. She knew she had that power on me too. I could tell she knew it. And as this went on, she likely got more bored with me. So you have to find that balance. This is the first couple stories I have to share about this. One day we were both doing this program and we'd help teach underclassmen this introductory course that wasn't really related to a major or anything, but it was related to maybe an issue in the world, and it focused on this one issue the whole entire time. And both of our classes, we worked in separate classes, were at the same time. So after class, you know, I'd go wait and see her between the buildings that we were at. And one time during this class, she texts me and says, "Oh shoot, I forgot my laptop or flash drive or whatever the heck it was." She had a file on there that she needed for a presentation that she was supposed to give. So she tells me to go run to her house. Well, essentially I tell myself this is what I need to do in order to get back here in time to make it look like I wasn't going playing hooky for a while. But her house was on campus. It was a school sponsored house. So I needed to pick it up, whatever it was, run back. For me to not look suspicious, I literally ran out of the classroom all the way to her house, which is like 0.4 miles away. I was like sprinting 400 meters. I was doing like a 400 meter dash there and back. And I did it in pretty good time, but I had to meet her outside her classroom, then run back into my classroom, sit down. I was beet red in the face, sweat dripping down my face. It was a hot September day. So totally imbecilic. Not only should I have said no and made her do it out of principle, because of the fact of, you know, I'd avoid future repercussions of doing the same thing if I kind of started to cut this off. This was only like 2 months into us dating, because it was like I was her cabana boy the rest of the time. And I was serving as an upperclassman for these, mentor for these kids. And after being hand selected by one of the school's professors, which she was the leader of the class, she could have served as an important reference for me in the future. But any of those things that I should have been more concerned about, like my own future and how I was handling myself, it went out the window. I would have never done this type of thing otherwise. Like, I was the type of kid where I would go to school no matter the circumstances, try to be there on time, do the best I could and represent myself as well as I could. But because her request was made, man, she was the queen. So things didn't stop there, not even close. I couldn't tell you the list of things that I agreed to do for her. And another example seems pretty minor, but it was perpetual. So she used to work a couple part-time jobs during her junior and senior years. And the years, which were the years we were dating, one of her jobs, she worked off campus like a mile or two away. We're in this small college town, and she would work sucky shifts, sometimes even like until 2 or 4 a.m., and most of the time, though, it was 4 to 10 p.m. So you, during the week. So you'd have to adjust your food schedule accordingly. And a lot of people have to do that. And we work long shifts sometimes, you know. Maybe you work at Walmart and you're working the overnight. You're working a certain time during the day. You have to figure out what works for you. So if you're like me, you don't want to eat expensive food. You don't want to eat out. You don't want to eat the crappy food that's around you at work, which a lot of people are eating, whether it's supplied by the work, in a break room, vending machine, whatever the heck it is. So I have spent so much money on like bringing protein bars and nuts and beef jerky, everything, in order to keep me away from those things like Taco Bell and McDonald's. But since she was well past the point of wanting to look good for me, to stay healthy and to be in shape, you know, she was hot. She was hot. I'll give her that. Like, naturally good genetics too. She could get away with it. And so, you know, she stopped eating healthily. Like, I couldn't do that. She had the asset. I didn't. She had control. I didn't. And she almost never brought her own food to work. But if she did bring her own food to work, she would still not eat it and instead call me to bring her Burger King or whatever the heck it was. And over the time that she was working there, I probably dropped off Burger King for her 15 times or more. So about $4 a visit, you know, that's about $60 right there. Not bad in the long run, but you know, I could buy myself some sneakers for that or some Lunar Janoskis, whatever the heck I want to wear, for about $60. So things could be worse. But the thing is, there was no reason for me to continually do this. And as time went on, more and more, I began to resent her. I began to resent her for these little things and not even recognize it. I began to resent her badly, feel undervalued, emasculated, just little, just small. And it stemmed and it disrupted all areas of the relationship. I began to be bitter during these times that she requested things from me. I would snap and say, "Fine, I'll get it. I'll do it anyway." Whether it was like she needed me to help her do something else, whether it was not just picking something up for her. just to try to make her feel bad instead of standing up for myself. So that's the problem right there. You get these requests and everything and you say, yes, I'm going to do it. If you have reached the point where you're putting her first before yourself, which is what's going to happen in these blue pill stages, these blue pill times, then you're going to damage your own personal health. You're going to damage your own personal mental health, the value you have for yourself. And you're going to wish they treated you better, but you're not going to communicate for it. And the only way for you to truly move on in these situations is there to be a crisis in your relationship. There has to be something to snap it. There has to be some way for it to be severed. You almost end up wishing, I hope some dude has sex with her to cheat on her, or she just finds me not interesting anymore and breaks it off because you haven't valued yourself enough to where you say, I can't date you anymore. Like, it's not good for me. So these things go hand in hand. And I remember one time, another little anecdote here, but we were in a Target just shopping around like you would do when you are you're bored in a relationship. You go to Target, you know, you like pretend to play house, whatever that is. And she really wanted this white rug. So first of all, you never buy a white rug. It's buying a white car. It's like buying a white car or white sneakers. Just, man, they're not going to last long unless you're crazy meticulous or you live in Arizona and the cars stay clean, or New Mexico, whatever the heck. So I don't care what type of rug it is, but I think this rug was like, it was like a furry white rug. It kind of looked like a border collie was converted into a rug, okay? So these things will get trashed in a minute and look like crap. But because it looks good on the shelf, just like that can of Pringles she demands you buy, and then she eats them in the car right home and blames you for buying them, the same thing will happen with this rug. So I knew we shouldn't buy it. It was like $30. So that's just 30 extra bucks in my pocket. I'm in college. Like, every bit buck counts. But because it was my money, it didn't. And it's no big deal if I say no to her. I'm sure everything would have been fine. But I say, fine, you requested it, and we'll buy it. She then kept insisting we shouldn't. I should stop fretting and just put it back, but I still didn't. But what I look back and see here, it was kind of like an obtuse backwards way of me trying to say, you're being unreasonable. You're not taking in consideration of me. So I'm going to be angry with you. I'm going to show you that I'm angry. I'm going to make you feel bad by putting me to this point where I got to buy something that's undervalued that, you know, I shouldn't buy, just to make you feel bad and for you to hear what's really going on inside of me without me saying it, which is another example of your own mental health being destroyed in these blue pill stages when her requests will make you resent her. So I couldn't value myself enough. But, you know, what's to be learned from this? I kind of went through this, but I want you guys to learn from my mistakes here and look at my own experiences as dating. Maybe you know someone's dating right now. Maybe it's you that's dating right now, and you're beginning to resent this person for the requests of and instances of being kind of what I call micro-used. So being micro-used like this, like these things will add up. Resentment, something that it builds up over time. Resentment can happen in one instance, but it's very rare. Like, I think you're generally, as a guy, you're going to be built to forgive the girl more frequently than the girl's going to be built to forgive you, because the responsibility is always on you as a male, regardless of feminism wants that to be the case. So I also want to point out where being blue pill blinds us from our own personal values. That's something, like, every time I was dating, my own personal values, they weren't values anymore. They were just like there. I recognized that they were part of me at one time, but you begin to assimilate the values and you begin to like share the psyche of that person, what they want. And if it's unbalanced, you're going to want what they want all the time. And that's called like an overbalance of the external motivations in life. So if there isn't a balance between external and internal motivation, you can run into a lot of problems. You can either have a loss of identity, you can have confusion, you can have depression. If this person leaves you, or if it's a marriage and you get divorced and you were basing your identity on this other person, that is an over-leveled external motivation is through the roof. There was no internal motivation. And so you're depressed. You're loathing this situation. You are loathing yourself. And it can also lead to self-loathing or a feeling of being abused if you don't communicate what's going on. So that's what happened to me. I would do anything for her, including buying her BK every night. As a result, I would distance myself from her just to communicate it without actually verbally speaking it. So there was a direct relationship that I would say looks like this. As resentment goes up, personal respect goes down. If you don't let yourself get in a position where you resent this person, you have probably been practicing good personal respect throughout the relationship. You see a lot of guys that they're pump and dump guys. Like, as much as girls get upset with these types of guys, the main thing that's going on here is they value themselves, maybe too much, but they value themselves, and they keep them away, they keep them distance from things like this, where they end up losing their own personal value. So we can have a debate whether or not you should be a pump and dump guy, but that's what's going on there. So, and it's just my take and my experience from my first girlfriend ever. Resentment grows slowly over time with repeated instances where you feel undervalued. So there, to kind of finish things up, there was an article. I like to look outside a little bit and check other references, even if it's not a Red Pill reference or it's on the Red Pill forums or whatever it is, or MGTOW.com. It was on the Good Men's Project website, which is not really a good Red Pill source, as the title page might indicate. But it notes three reasons why men resent women. And number one, women represent sexual privilege and authority to the average man. So women have all this privilege, but not the responsibility. So as a man, you're like, I have all this responsibility, but no privilege. That's not fair. That's a burden. Number two, some men don't particularly care for women's values or interests. And number three, women pride themselves on being complex. So I think number three is a bunch of baloney. Okay. Whether or not they pride themselves on being something, like as a man, like that's out of your control. That even if that's the case, it's out of your control, and that's something you don't have to necessarily deal with it if you choose to opt out of it. But regardless, if you're dating, you've got to deal with these first two things. In work or in family, you have women around you. So each of these reasons look at the upper hand that women have in many areas, which is accurate, but it doesn't take into account the other side of the coin, which is the fact that this is something as a man you have to deal with, as opposed to an asset which a woman possesses perpetually. Resentment does happen because of how women treat you too, which is something I've seen. You know, resentment occurs because of how men are treated. It's not just that things are as they are. It's also an active thing. And the lie that you believe is that, you know, you as a man should say, yes, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, in order to keep her as a viable childbearing option. That is the worst place to be, which is what our biology tells us, that we have to say yes and you're right in order to keep her around so we can spread our seed, which is what it comes down to. So, but this won't happen if you remove that desire. You stay focused on yourself first and foremost. We're focused on your craft. Do whatever you do day in, day out that makes you happy, that improves you as a person. And you don't feel like you need to base your value in this other person, which that is the first step towards resentment from you know, creating resentment that you have towards someone you're dating or your wife or whatever it is. So if you don't address these things, you're not becoming a better person. And that's the point of MGTOW. And it could be a rude ending to the relationship, which it was for me. Very rude ending. And I'm going to talk about that at a later date when it comes time to talk about that. So if you have made it to the end of the video, I'm very encouraged to say at least for those that did. I hope you took something away from it. Please leave a comment if you got a similar experience to me. Like or subscribe. I will get back to you within 24 hours if you comment. And always take into account what you got to say. Thanks for watching, guys. If you want me to look at another idea, or you've got a personal experience that you want me to touch on, or you've got a question you want me to look at, or something you want my take on, please hit me up. I will make a video on it for sure. I will give you guys a shout out. Thanks again. Hoodie's up. Hoodie is out. Enjoy your week.